Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
You know, officially right now, I am the physically strongest person in my household, right? And I know it's an amazing honor, and I accept it gladly. And basically, that means that I get to be the official tight jar lid opener. That's pretty much what I get to do, right? Whenever there's a jar that can't be opened, it's my job to open it, right? And if you are that person in your household, you know, it's a pretty awesome thing to be a part of, right? It's a momentous occasion, and it feels pretty good to be able to open something that no one else can, right? It's almost like I feel pretty awesome for about 2 seconds until I'm brought back to reality and I realize there's nothing special about it at all, right? Now, most of the time, it's my children who come to me and ask me to do this. Only after, though, they have attempted multiple times to do it themselves. You know, they come across, normally it's that, you know, the hardest ones are actually the corn chip dip, right? What is that? Salsa sort? Man, that is very difficult to open. Anyway, they should do something about that. But my children try to open it. They try and they strive and they with all their might, but they can't pop open the lid, right? And so eventually they succumb and they hand the jar to me. They say, Papa, can you help us out? Absolutely. This is what I do, right? And so I grab the jar and you hear that, right? And it's the best sound ever. And you're like, yes, I know. And you sort of, you know, pretend like you haven't really done anything, but inside you're like, I'm awesome, right? And so you give them the jar. Now, here's the cool thing, right? Here they are, you know, struggling to do something, but then as soon as they ask for my help, they discover that what is difficult for them is easy for me. And they still get exactly what they desired with a lot less effort. Now, it's a silly illustration, but I share that illustration to say, you know, a lot of us in life are trying to get somewhere. We're trying to move forward. We're trying to outwork what God has put in our heart. We're trying to live this fruitful, purposeful life, but we're trying to do it in our own effort. We're trying to open the lid to that in our own strength. And whatever we try, it just doesn't seem to budge, where if only we were just to hand it over to God, we would find out what is difficult for us is easy for Him, and we would still get everything that we desire. You know, I've noticed that certainly among many believers, there's this epidemic of tiredness. You know, if you ask someone, hey, how you doing? They might say, yeah, I'm doing good, but boy, I am tired. Right? Maybe if I was to ask you tonight, how you're doing? Your response would be, man, I'm just tired. I'm exhausted. You know, I just feel spent. I don't really have much left to give. And, you know, I appreciate that tiredness can be the result of many different things. Right now, I'm quite tired because, as I told you about a week or two ago, I got a new dog, right? And she's lovely, but she wakes up early, right? And this morning, she woke me up at 2:45 a.m., right? 2:45 a.m., scratching, barking, all this stuff. Right, and I'm a very light sleeper, so that a single noise and I'm up, and so like I try to ignore it for about 5 minutes, but then I feel bad, right? Because then I feel like she needs to go to the toilet. I better let her out. So I go downstairs, I let her out to go to the toilet, and she goes to the toilet, but then she won't go back to sleep. So now I'm stuck for up, and eventually I'll fall asleep on the couch with her, and that's been my routine for about the last 6 weeks, right? No joke. I tell you, my devotional life has never been so consistent. It's unbelievable. I reckon God gave me that dog to say, see, I told you to get up early, spend time with me, right? And so different things can make us tired. You know, I think one of the things that makes a lot of us tired is that we're striving and we're trying to force things, we're trying to make things happen, we're trying to get somewhere in our own strength. Somewhere along the line, someone told us that in order to see the dreams and desires in your heart outworked, that you have to make it happen. That you have to exert yourself to the point of exhaustion to see that dream come to pass. You know, maybe you've heard, a couple of celebrities. There's two that I've heard say this. One's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The other's Kevin Hart. And people have asked them in interviews, they've said to you, you know, what has made you so successful? And the answer they've given, they've said, well, we are the hardest workers in the room. In other words, they're saying that we outwork everybody else. That's why we're so successful. And I think this sort of, this idea has somehow gotten into our hearts as well, that we feel that if we outwork everybody else, if we do better than everybody else at work, if we try harder, if we sleep less, if we just give more effort, if we're able to outwork everybody else, then we will get what we need to get. But man, that is an exhausting place to live. That is a very tiring place to live. And, you know, Christ said that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And I don't believe that abundance is supposed to be an abundance of stress and worry and striving. I believe it's supposed to be a life full of joy and peace and hope. You know? So the question is there a better way? Is there a better way? Because I tell you, the most frustrating place to be is to have a dream in your heart for yourself, for your family, for your business, your career, and be working so hard and feel like you're still stuck. I'm just not getting any traction. I'm not getting anywhere. I know I have this dream in my heart, but I'm not getting anywhere no matter how hard I try. Surely there must be a better way. Well, I want to encourage you tonight that there is. There is a much, much better way. I want to look at a familiar passage of scripture. It's found in John chapter 15. And I love this passage. It holds some great keys for us about how to live a purposeful, fruitful, abundant life without having to be exhausted to obtain it. And to give you a bit of context, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's teaching them how to live a successful life after he's gone. Right? And he says this to them in John 15 verse 1 through to 8. He says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Here it is. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So in this passage, Jesus, talking to his disciples, he mentions the Father, he mentions himself, and he mentions you and I. First of all, he says that the Father is the vine dresser, or in other words, he is the gardener. Now, as the gardener, that means that he is responsible for taking care of the vine. He's responsible for taking care of the vine. He's responsible for protecting it, for providing for it, for making sure that it becomes what it has the potential to become. That's the responsibility of the Father, the gardener. He then says that himself, Jesus, that he is the vine. As the vine, he is the one to which everyone is connected. He is the one to which everyone is rooted, if you like. It's through him, the vine, that flows everything that is needed to produce fruit. And then Jesus says who you and I are. He says that you and I, we are the branches. He says that as branches, it's our responsibility to simply stay connected to the vine. He says, if you stay connected to the vine, whatever flows through the vine will simply flow through you. What that means is that as a branch, we are simply receivers who get the blessing of being fruit bearers. Right? We're just receivers. The vine has everything that is needed to produce fruit. If we just stay connected to the vine, then we're just receivers and have the blessing of being fruit bearers. Now, this is where we get it wrong. Somewhere along the line, someone, something convinced us that we must operate as the producers. when we were never called to be the producers. We were always called just to simply be the receivers and the fruit bearers. Now, if you go back to the Genesis, the book of Genesis, you will find that in Genesis, God created man, and it tells us in Genesis 2:15 that he placed him in the Garden of Eden. Now, in the Garden of Eden, man had everything supplied for him. Every desire, every dream in his heart was easily received. It was fully supplied. He didn't have to work hard. He didn't have to put in a lot of effort or stress or strive. He just simply received. It was all provided for him. But then sin entered the world. Man made a mistake. And all of a sudden, it changed man's position. Man went from being a receiver to now having to feel like a producer. In fact, it says this in Genesis 3, verse 17. It says, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Look at this. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Now notice before the fall, making something happen was easy. Before there was sin, making something happen was easy. If you wanted something, you just received it. It was already provided. It was all supplied. But now after the fall, if you wanted something, you had to work for it. You had to work hard for it. By the sweat of your brow, you had to produce something. But what you produced wasn't even close to what previously you could freely receive. Right. But here's the good news. Guess what? Jesus came to put things back the way they were before. Amen. Jesus came to take us from being producers back to being receivers and fruit bearers. Right. So let me say something that I pray is an encouragement to you tonight. To be fruitful in life, to find traction in life, to get unstuck, you do not need to strive. You know what you need to do? All you need to do is abide. You don't need to strive. You just need to abide. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So I suppose the question is, that's great. Okay, if abiding is the answer, what does it mean to abide? Now, you could probably do a big word study on this, and you could probably find all these, you know, great answers. Here's my answer. Here's what abide means. Simply staying close to God. Just stay close to God. To abide in Him means to stay close to God. Therefore, if you want to live a fruitful life, then make a decision to stay close to God. Amen? Now, let me camp here for a second, because Jesus, in what he's saying here, he highlighting something really important for us, right? He's saying this, he's saying what you stay close to, what you stay or choose to connect to, will have a huge bearing on what your life looks like. Right? Now, often this is something that we overlook, right? Or we ignore, or we think we are immune to. There are a lot of Christians who feel like, no, I can be in any environment. I can be around any group of people. I can connect myself to anybody, but I'm immune to that affecting me. But what Jesus says here, he says, no, whatever you connect to flows through you. Right? So you want to be real careful what you connect to. Right? There are some of us in this room and we are frustrated. We are disappointed. We feel like we're not being fruitful, but it's because you're connected to the wrong thing. Some of you are connected to relationships that you've been holding on to way too long because you're hoping that it will change. Something's going to change. Something's going to be different. If I stay here long enough, surely, finally, I'll be fruitful. When really, you need to let go of that relationship because it's just simply sucking the life out of you. It's taking things away from you. There are certain environments, certain things that you are doing that you are connecting yourself with that you don't even realize are actually derailing the thing that God has for you. You've got to be careful what you are connected to. You know, you're looking for fruit in that connection, but nothing's producing because what you're connected to is unhealthy. It's actually a dead thing. It doesn't have life in it. That's why as soon as you see people disconnect for something that's unhealthy, all of a sudden that feels like they get a new lease of life. It's like they feel different. It's like, man, I just feel so light. I feel so free. That's because what they were connected to was killing them. Now, sometimes we don't like to disconnect from things or relationships or other things because we think, I can't live without that thing. But I want to tell you, you can never really live while you stay connected to that thing. The only thing that will give you real life is being connected to Jesus. If you want to be fruitful, if you want to be purposeful, you need to be connected to the one in which eternal life is found. Amen? Amen. You know, I suppose the keys can come. Why not? Let's do it. Hey. Abide in him and you'll be fruitful. It's a promise. What an awesome promise. Abide in me. You abide in him and you can't help but to be fruitful. And to be fruitful gives you a sense of being purposeful. And to be purposeful will make you feel like, man, I am moving forward. I'm getting traction. I'm going in the direction God has for me. Amen. So if abiding in Jesus leads to experiencing a fruitful, purposeful, fulfilling life, how do we know if we're abiding in him? How do we know if we're connected to him the way he encourages us to? Well, you know, I believe that one indicator is how you respond when you face a storm. I say that because storms always have a way of exposing your connectivity. Have you ever, there's been a big storm the night before, you wake up the next morning, and perhaps you look out the window, you're driving to work, and all of a sudden there's a branch laying in the middle of the road. That branch wasn't there the day before. It's just that the storm exposed its lack of connectivity. Now, what's interesting about that is if you had looked at that branch the day before, nothing would have told you that there was anything wrong with its connection. That's because connectivity is not seen on what's happening on the outside. It's determined by what's happening on the inside. Amen? You see, I've seen many Christians, many people who seem to be well connected to Jesus, who come to church regularly, who go into Connect Group, who are lifting their hand in worship, who are serving in certain areas, but then they go into a storm and all of a sudden they disappear. They fell away because they may have looked connected on the outside, but what's on the outside can be deceiving. Connectivity starts on the inside. See, this is why Solomon writes this in Proverbs 4:23. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Amen. David wrote in Psalms 139, verse 23, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Look at this. He says, point out anything you find in me that makes you sad and lead me along the path of everlasting life. In other words, he says, God, help me identify if there's anything that's disconnecting me from you. And there's something disconnecting from me from you. Help me deal with it because my connectivity to you is the most important thing to me. Jesus said, apart from me, you and I, we can do nothing. Now, if he had said we would do nothing, then that would mean we have the ability, but we're choosing not to exercise it. But he didn't say we would do nothing. He said we could do nothing. That means we can stress and we can strive and we can try with all our might to see that dream outworked in our heart, to see the desires inside of us come to fruition, to get unstuck. But we will never be able to do it because in our own ability, we do not have the capacity. It's not through striving. It's simply through abiding. I don't know about you, that's good news. That's awesome news, amen. You mean I don't have to exert all this energy to the point of exhaustion? No. Because Jesus already did it all. He already exerted himself to the point of exhaustion. He sweated drops of blood so you never had to. He was beaten and bruised and hung up on a cross so none of us ever have to. He said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Not a life bound, not a life exhausted, not a life where you're just trying to just pull yourself to the next place. No. He said, you know what? You just abide in me. Just stay connected to me and just receive, because everything is in me that you need. And if you stay connected to me, it will just flow automatically through you. Amen. Stop striving. Just start abiding. I know it doesn't seem right, you know. It seems like we should do more than that. It messes with our minds. We feel like, no, surely there's more onus on us to make it happen. But you can't bear fruit in your own effort. Just stay connected to Him. And fruitfulness will just flow naturally from your life. Let me give you one last thought just before we finish and we pray and take a moment just to receive from God. Is this helping you? I pray this is encouraging you tonight. Amen. God's good, amen. What an awesome Father we have. You know, it blows me away when I think through the way He operates and His character and His heart for us, because it doesn't seem right. Like, He got a much rougher end of the deal than we did. He just constantly loves us so much that He just constantly blesses us and helps us. And wow, what an awesome Father, you know? Blows me away. Jesus says this, look at this again. John 15, verse 7 to 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I love that. Look at this. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. By this, you being fruitful glorifies God. You know why that excites me? Because you know one of the number one purposes of Jesus is to bring glory to the Father. That's one of His number one heart's desires, is to bring glory to the Father. So what that means is that Jesus wants your dreams and desires to be fulfilled in your life even more than you do. He's working to see it happen because He desires it even more than you do. All those times you've gone, Jesus, don't you care? I thought you were my ever-present help. I thought you were always there. I thought you were working all things out for good. And He's like, yeah, I desire it more than you do. As much as you are passionate about seeing fulfilled, I want it fulfilled. Why? Because your fruitfulness brings glory to my Father. Amen. Do you also know that's why it can't come about in your own effort? Because if it did, then who would get the glory? Wouldn't you get the credit? Wouldn't you get the glory if it is in your own effort? See, it's not set up that way, because everything has always got to point back to the Father. I don't want people to look at my life and go, wow, Tony, you're so amazing. You know, except when I open a jar. I mean, that's just a little thing. But I'm just saying, right? I don't want that. What's the purpose of that? You know, for me to do that, that could be the worst possible thing I could do, to bring glory to myself. Why? Because I can't help anybody. I can't change anybody's life. I can't change anybody's eternity. Only the Father can do that. He is never selfish in wanting glory. You know why? Because He is the one who can change a person's life. If it was something else, He would point to that. But He said, no, He wants everything to point to Him, because He knows the difference it can make in a person's life. Amen. So I don't know what you've been striving and struggling to produce. I don't know what the dream or desire is in your heart. I do know this, that if God put it in there, he wouldn't do it to tease you. He's not about that. Your father's not out to tease you. If he put a dream or desire in your heart, he plans to see it come to pass. But I don't know what you're struggling to make happen. I don't know what frustrations you're feeling or how you feel. Like, man, you know, I've just been month and year after year, I'm stuck in the same place. And God's saying, yeah, that's because you just need to let go and let me. Just abide in me. Just stay connected to me. Don't try to open doors. Don't try to maneuver this thing. Don't try to make that thing happen. You know, I know sometimes we want it now. And God says, don't worry, my timing's perfect. And it'll be awesome when it happens. Just abide in me. Just abide in me and I'll make you way more fruitful than you could ever make yourself. Amen.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I want to tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about him, he loved you. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed his love. So he sent his son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, he said, I will take their place. So he died and rose again so that his death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and his life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, he's a friend, and you can invite him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe he's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.